Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
So as we gather this morning, just a couple of announcements, things that are happening this week. This begins Holy Week as we pronounce that with Palm Sunday. All sorts of things going on. The three biggies this week, though, on Thursday night at the Central Campus, there is a Living Last Supper, okay? And so that will go on Thursday night at 7 o'clock in the main auditorium. Here on Friday night in the main gymnatorium is Good Friday. If you came in the front entrance and saw the giant painting on the wall, that is from last year. It's an interactive Good Friday. Amy Taylor is here again this year. We're going to be doing a different, obviously something different, but still interactive, artistic. You get to participate in. Super powerful. I know I say that about a lot of things, but my gosh, that is, you're just missing out. I'm just going to say, if you can be here on Friday from 7 to about 7:50, it's about 50 minutes. It's super powerful and wonderful, and so I encourage you to be here for that. And then Saturday at 1 p.m. here, there is a production that happens in here for families and children. It's called The Epic Show, and so that will be here. You need to buy a ticket online, okay? It's $1. Why did we do this? How many of you came last year? Does anybody remember how packed this room was? A little scary. It was so full. Seriously, I mean, like 400 and something people. And so the fire marshal said, "Nay, nay, no, no." And so we're selling tickets so we can just keep a count. If you can't afford a dollar, come see Will and he'll buy your ticket for you. All right, it's a dollar. All right, Lord God, thank you, Lord. I thank you for your glory. Lord, I really thank you for just the joy of your love to us. The fact that we can the joy of your love that we can just have joy and laughter, Lord, and we can feel good about this day because of one of your little creations called a donkey, Father. And then a whole lot of your little creations that are the greatest creation of all time. Even you said so, the human body and our children. Lord, and so let us take joy in that today. Lord, let's just let that carry through the rest of the day as we worship you. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. And all the people said, amen. Church, have a seat. Stay in an attitude of prayer. Here's what I want us to do is I just want you to think through just your own lives just for a second. We're going to take 30 seconds, a minute, about your saved marriages, the blessing of your children, your finances, your healings, your health concerns, anything and all the things that have gone on in your life. Just think about those for just a minute. Find those. I don't care if it's been 20 years ago. That means you still have reasons to give praise to God. So let's just think through those things for just a moment. Lord, thank you. Lord, I'm so thankful we have someone that we can praise. Lord, we have a King. We have a Savior. We have a friend in Jesus. And for someone, it's been a while since we've had that encounter with you, Lord. And so I'm thankful that maybe for today that it is that re-encounter that they're having with you. Father, there's healing that needs to take place this morning. Lord, I'm thankful for where it's already happened. Lord, I'm thankful for just how you've moved in people's lives that we know. We're so thankful for the healing that's taken place in Rebecca's life. We're thankful for the healing that's taken place in Barbara's life this week, Lord. And we're thankful for brand new babies, Lord, born into the life of this congregation this week. We're so thankful for just the healing and wholeness of mom and new life that you have given us to celebrate. Lord, as we're here, even if we don't think we have anything today, Lord, all we have to do is look to you. Look to your faith and that you have for us, and Lord, the salvation that we have in you. Lord, as we do that, Lord, let us, even if symbolically this week, Lord, just be waving those palm branches, Lord, in anticipation of what you're going to do in our lives and in the world. In Jesus' name, all the people said, amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated. Just quickly, as we talk about our finances and your giving, we have some new boxes around the building that are attached to the walls. They're little black boxes that have a little slit in the top of them for you to be able to put your checks or your money into. And they're right outside these doors. There's even one for kids over by the kids' check-in station that's really down low. This is not a manipulative move. I think it's just a great way for you to teach your children how to what God calls us to do in giving. And whether it's a nickel or a dime or a dollar or whatever, to just teach them what it means and for them to make the effort to do that, okay? I also think it's important, though, that I know for some that don't have any money yet and that you give them a dollar or $5, whatever it might be, I really encourage you to give them $100 to put in there. Some of y'all will get that later. And but have them earn that. Whether it's taking out the trash or helping with the dog, taking a dog for a walk, but teach them the value of money, but then teach them that the value that God places on money, but also really just our faithfulness with the money that he gives us. And so I'm just going to pray over our finances. Lord God, thank you. I really believe, Lord, that you do bless us in our finances when we're faithful to you. May not be millions of dollars, but Father, it's always enough. And that's where I count on you, Lord, that your provisions would always be enough for us to serve you and for us to be able to serve the world. And that includes our own families. And so, Lord, bless each giver today. Lord, bless that money that is given. Lord, as we grow your kingdom, Lord, as we do things to reach people for the name of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. No children's church today or children's worship because it is the first Sunday of the month. We're not taking communion today because of Good Friday. We'll do that Friday during the service. And so I encourage you to, once again, be here for that, to participate in worship and in communion as we celebrate who Christ is in us and through us this Holy Week, his sacrifice for us. If you've how many of you, I'm just curious, how many of you have never grown up in the church or just in your Christian faith celebrating Holy Week or even knowing what Holy Week is? It's okay, I didn't. And so nobody's raising their hand. There's one, two, three. Yeah, I see a whole bunch of us. And so some of this is new, and that's okay. Some of it is very, just to give you just an idea of why I'm saying that. Some of this is very traditional sounding, and some churches really do it in high church tradition. We do it just because of the, just because it's biblical, just because it's a part of the history of Christ in real history. I don't know if some of y'all know this. This is not a made-up book. This is a historical book as well. And it's in there, and it really did happen. And so we celebrate those just like we do. I know it almost sounds sacrilegious to say we celebrate Palm Sunday because it's a historical event, just like we do 4th of July, right? Just like we celebrate the independence of our nation. We celebrate the birth of Christ. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ. We celebrate all the things that went on in Christ's life. And so that's why we do this. And but to do it really in a way that honors him, but also builds us up. Wasn't it great to see the kids and the donkey? Was for me. That's fun, and that's gracious and wonderful, and so we do those things. As we think about that, though, I want to go one step farther today in how we talk about what the palms mean to us and that idea of that second coming. And how do we live with the idea that Christ is coming back? How do we live with the idea that the physical Christ is coming back while the spiritual part of God in Christ is already here with us in the Holy Spirit? Why would we care about the physical coming when we already have all the power of Christ himself already living in us? It matters because Jesus says it matters. It matters because Scripture tells us that we're supposed to be watching. And so I want to talk about this way of how we consider that, how we live our lives that way. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 12, verse 35 through 46. Mike, if you could move that along as I read, because I'm going to read out of the Bible, so I can just keep an eye on it. I'm noticing today that anybody have allergy besides me right now? Oh my gosh, I can barely see out of my head the way it is today. Chapter 12 of Luke, verse 35 through 46, it says, "Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps alight. And be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that you may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whose the master will find alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve you and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. When he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so blessed are those slaves. And be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed this house to be broken into." He said, but, listen, remember, he says, "But you too be ready for the Son of Man that is coming in an hour that you do not expect." And Peter said, "Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and the sensible steward who his master will put in charge of his servants to give the time of the rations at the proper time? Blessed is the slave whose his master finds doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But if the slave says in his heart, 'My master will be a long time in coming,' and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master will say to that slave and will come on that day when he does not expect him, and at the hour he does not know, woo, listen to this, and will cut him into pieces and assign him to the place with unbelievers." So, this idea of waiting, this idea of this illustration here is a master that has gone away. He's got a house full of servants. The master goes away. He goes on vacation. Matter of fact, I heard some of you talking this morning. You attended a wedding last night and you were at a reception. He's gone away, right? And now, when we go to a wedding, we might drive and go, but we can come back quickly. But think about it. If you're traveling on foot or on a donkey or on a horse, and you're having to travel a long distance, it takes a while. I mean, that's a trip. And so not knowing when he's going to return, how do we live in the same way? Not knowing when the master of the house is going to come back, and for us not knowing when Christ is coming back, how are you living? That's what we're talking about today. How do we prepare ourselves? How do we be ready for the second coming? And so the first thing is obviously, as Scripture says, is to keep your lamps burning. So what does that mean? How do we do that each and every day to keep our lamps burning? Remember, Jesus points to this time right here. He says, there's an age and there's an age to come. In this time that we're living in now, there was a time where there was a great wedding banquet, a great feast, right? That was Jesus. That was the whole thing when he came on earth. And then there's going to be another time of light, another time of a great age. And so in between is a darkness. That's the age we live in. And so why do we need these lamps? Why do we need these lights? It's so we can have... what is that light? Part of that is his holy word, a lamp unto our feet, and to keep Scripture burning inside of us and to us to stay awake. Ephesians 5:14, we did this for probably 6 months last year. "Wake up, O sleeper," right? "Rise from the dead so the light of Christ can shine upon you." You have to be ready. Your lamps have to be burning. You have to be awake spiritually, not physically, but spiritually, for the light of Christ to shine upon you when he comes again. So what are you doing all week long between Sunday to Sunday? What are you doing during the time when it's the last time you came to church until the next time you come to church? How are you living your life day to day? Because if it's just right here and right now, well, we're all good. I mean, my gosh, we have donkeys, right? I mean, the light of Christ is obviously shining on us. Is that not the cutest donkey you've ever seen on the face of the planet? That is the cutest animal. And so when we think of that, the Apostle Paul, who really is talking about the second coming, who's talking about Christ coming back, he wants us to really be prepared now so we not only do we not miss it when he comes, okay, but so we can experience it before he comes. Now, a lot of people, I think, really worry about the second coming. I mean, there are books written, theologians spend their whole life, cult leaders and people that think they're really smarter than everybody else, they try to predict the day and the time and the hour. I mean, this happens about every 4, 5, 10 years. Somebody comes out. I think it was even on the cover of Time magazine one time. It got so out of hand. My favorite one, I don't remember who did it. I don't remember who the guy was the last time. He said it was going to be at midnight on a so-and-so date. And just so happened, for the first time in my life, I was so glad that Jesus didn't come back on that day in that time. And here's why, is because me and several friends, some of you in the room right here, we had tickets to see U2 in Denver, Colorado. I would have been so disappointed if Jesus would have come back before I got to see U2. Amen? But here's what was so funny about the whole thing. I mean, we all knew Jesus was not coming back that night, okay? Why did I know that? This guy was a quack. And, you know, just spouting off things. My favorite part of a whole U2 concert, which is just almost, you talk about heaven breaking in on earth, I'm just going to get really funny now. I mean, that was it. I mean, the Shekinah glory was in Mile High Stadium for 3 hours. It was perfect. But they come out, and guess what they say? As we're all cheering and laughing and everything's great, he looks around and it's wonderful. And of course, we all know that the lead singer, he's a Christian, and he's looking around and he just slowly lifts up his microphone and he says, "We're all still here." The whole place goes crazy. And why is that? Because we are not deceived. And probably some people in there didn't even have a clue what the guy was talking about. Because they weren't Christians, they didn't know. But see, the whole point of keeping your lamps burning is stay alert and attentive to the Holy Spirit and Scripture so we will not be deceived at a false coming. So we will not be deceived by somebody that's telling us things that are not true, that we will not be deceived on sinfulness and lies and trickery. And so we will be ready. How are we going to be ready? Romans 13:11, by the way, says this. He says, "Wake up, because it is time for you to wipe the sleep from your eyes, because salvation," Paul says, "is closer than the day which we first believed." Now, you say, well, that's because he didn't come back yesterday, so we're one day closer. Yes, that is true. But also because of the way God is working in your life, we're one day closer. The more faith I believe, and the way Scripture explains it, is the more faith we express, the more helpful we are at ushering the second coming of Christ. It is not us who is going to trigger that day, okay? But it is the faithfulness of everyone around us that helps usher him in. That helps the world see, to help the world know, to help us. And how do we know if you're spiritually asleep? Because that's what really we're talking about here. As I want to just ask you this, or you ask yourself this, what controls you every day? What in your life, what in your faith, what in your heart, what in your mind controls you? What drives you each and every day? Because that's the question you have to ask yourself. Is it faith or is it something else? Is it money or is it faith? Is it Scripture or is it the daily news? Is it one or the other? What causes you to respond? Now, I know you're going to say this about being a pastor, but it's really not about being a pastor. It's about how I automatically, if I say what controls me and what drives me, I have to first admit one thing. It's a fight every day. Amen? It's a fight every day. It's a struggle in my life every day about what controls me. The second thing I have to do is say, how do I respond to those struggles? So last week on Tuesday, I heard, in my prayer, I gave thanks to God for his movement in Rebecca's life. You may not know Rebecca. It's the child of a staff member and a friend here at the church. And so she was in the hospital and possibly dying in the hospital at age 22. And so my first response was, I'm going to where she is in Waco, Texas, and I'm going to pray for her. Right? And some other people did that too. I'm just telling you about this idea of what controls me and drives me. Right? I went in, prayed for her. I had to wait a few minutes, prayed for her. But then, this was 5 hours and 25-minute drive for me to spend 30 minutes there, and then I turned around and came home. I've done that many times for many people. Houston, Dallas, Waco, New Mexico, Oklahoma. I mean, just different people in different ways, right? Because that's what drives me. That idea of I want to be where God's called me to be. I mean, my goodness, we drove all the way, Robin and I drove all the way to Wilmore, Kentucky. That's 2,500 miles round trip just to be in the presence of God, to feel what that was like. Do I do that every day? No, right now y'all are thinking I'm the best Christian on the face of the planet. I am not. I fail miserably a lot of the times. But what drives us? How do we respond? See, when your lamps are burning, you're ready and you're prepared. What does it mean? It means to be more affected by Jesus than the world. It means being more affected by Scripture than anything else. It means Your responses are more biblical, or they are more holy, they are more spirit-filled than they are not, right? That's how your lamps are burning or they're not burning. And continual, constant effort, right? Here's what I want to say. Keeping your lamps burning, here's a great way to think about this, is to have a fresh understanding of Christ in your life every day. To have a renewed understanding. To come to a new place in your life, say, I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to pray another minute today. I'm going to read some more scripture today. I'm going to actually go buy a book to explain to me what Romans actually means or what Luke 12 through 35 through 46 means. I'm going to actually dig deeper. That's what keeping your lamps burning means. You have to ask yourself if your lamps are burning or if you need to light them. And also, another thing, I think our lamps can be burning, but I just thought of this, but at the same time, sometimes they get dim, don't they? If you ever have an oil lamp or a candle at your house, sometimes you gotta trim the wick and you gotta pull it out a little more, you gotta put more oil in. If you have a candle, sometimes it gets too much wax around the wick and you gotta dig that out a little bit. Sometimes we have to kind of readjust to keep our lamps burning. And then the other one, it says, is to be dressed and ready for service. And let me just say this. How many of you have heard that passage? I don't think I wrote it down, but where it says, the master's going to come and he's going to gird up his loins and he's going to serve. Sounds kind of dirty, doesn't it? Oh, I know you've been thinking it all your life. Come on now. It sounds kind of like, we shouldn't really say that out loud. What I want you to think of, though, you have to envision this, right? They wore a lot of robes, right? They wore a lot of things that were not pants, okay? They wore things that covered them so the dust didn't get to them, and they could take one layer off when it got too hot. They could put another layer on when it got cold. They lived in the desert. That happened in the blink of an eye, and the dust storms and all the different things, okay? So they wore these robes. But guess what it meant to serve? When you have those robes on, it's hard to serve, right? When you have on bulky clothing, it's hard to do things. How many of you have had on a suit jacket or a coat or whatever, and you're outside doing something, and you needed more ways to move better, so you took your jacket off, right? You took your coat off, not because you were hot, but because you really couldn't move around well. How many of you have had gloves on, and they're there to protect your hands, but they don't work very well when you're trying to be nimble and you're trying to unscrew something, right? So you take that off. See this idea of service? Why does it say be dressed and ready? See, when it said to be dressed and ready, they would gather up the bottom part of those cloaks. They would gather up the bottom part of their robe. They would have a belt on, which might have been just a rope. They would have a belt on. They would take that and they would tuck it inside their belt so their legs were free. So they were able to move around better. It's not that they would change into some other uniform. It's that they would be better prepared to do whatever service was required of them. Anybody ever, this has happened to me once. I don't know if you've ever seen me. It's kind of embarrassing now that I even think about it. Not embarrassing. It's just weird to talk about it here. Anybody ever seen me in the clergy robes we sometimes wear over at Central? I mean, they're long. I mean, it's a collegiate robe. It's like what people graduate in. I have no idea why we started wearing those whenever they were. Somebody back when decided that was great. But I knelt down one time in a sermon illustration, and it got caught underneath my knees. I could not get back up. Somebody from the choir had to come over and grab my arm and help me back up because I was caught. And that's what this idea is. Don't get burdened down by other stuff. Gird up whatever's going to hold you back and get ready to serve. Be ready for Christ to come and to serve. Verse 37, it will be good for those servants whose masters find them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and he will come and wait on them. That passage of scripture I read earlier about all of nature is going to be glory. They're going to be in awe of the glory of us when we are transformed. That's the idea of the master coming to serve. That's the idea of we get elevated, not above Christ, but with Christ. The master is saying that we are together now. We are one. We are equal. I'm coming to serve you instead of you serve me. See, that's what it means to be ready. What happens, though, if you're not ready? If you're found not ready, okay, this is the master. I will appear and cut you to pieces. If a servant takes the gifts my master has given him and says, well, he's not coming back till later, right? And matter of fact, maybe he's never coming back, and begins to use it for himself, the master will come and destroy him. This is where we don't take for granted what God has given us. This is where we don't think that what we have is all ours and we ignore God. This is where we don't say, ooh, thank goodness for that medicine because now I'm healed. No, we say, thank goodness that God gave us the medicine and God gave us healing through that medicine, through those surgeries, through the miracle of modern medicine. This is where we always give credit to God instead of trying to take credit for ourselves. That's where this idea of being ready, boy, Jesus never pulls any punches, right? You need to be ready. You need to be ready. And let me say this about this this idea of the second coming of Christ. When he says be ready to serve, it also means be ready for battle. It's hard to fight when you have all this extra baggage. It's hard to hold a sword. Right? While you're holding all these other things. It's hard to run and fight when you're burdened and pulled down by all the stuff that we carry with us. He's saying, be nimble, travel light, be ready. Be ready. And to know that Christ is coming, right? To know that Christ is coming really should do one great thing for us right now. Is to encourage us and to give us more power. If you've ever been in a situation where you knew help was coming, right? What it does is it automatically reinvigorates you. It automatically gives you one last push, one last bit of strength, one last bit of stamina to keep fighting because you know they're almost there. I don't know how it works, but it does. I mean, I've literally been in fights and I thought I was losing, but just knowing on the radio when I hear that backup's on the way, and I know that I'm going to make it. I know that it's going to be okay. And when reinforcements are coming, even though they're not there yet, It should give us strength. It should give us encouragement. It should give us power. The second coming is that. Reinforcements are on the way. Christ is on the way. He's not here 100% yet, but he's coming, and his power is already here with us. So the question is, are your lamps burning when he shows up? The question is, are you going to be dressed and ready, or are you going to be found sleeping spiritually? Are you going to be that which is unfaithful? I know that when we say, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, we think about maybe physical sleep. We're talking about spiritual, talking about your daily living. Wake up. Wake up. Because Jesus is coming. That was what was so great about them waving palm branches as Jesus was coming into town. It was like they got this second shot of energy and passion. They knew reinforcements were coming. They misjudged, but they knew it. And so they were shouting, Hosanna in the highest, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Reinforcements are coming, but let me say this. The power is already here. It's like he pushed it forward. He's pushing heaven towards us. And until we get to see him, we should be encouraged. We should feel that passion. We should feel that presence. Hosanna in the highest. So we're going to pray. Worship team is going to come back up. Just whatever you think you need encouragement for, I want you to lift that up. I want you to, as I pray, I want you to say, Lord, here's where I need your encouragement. Lord, here's where I need your healing. Lord, here's where I need your promises to be revealed in my life. Lord, here's where I just need to know you are with me. I need to know you're caring for someone else. I'm discouraged, Lord. As scripture says, my face is downcast. I don't have a lot of hope right now. I need you. I need you. Lord, I know it's true. I know of a few family situations this morning, Lord, where there's great distress. Lord, there's some fear, and rightfully so. Lord, I also know that there's great celebrations in this room and online today. Lord, we're so thankful for new life in the Owens family. Lord, we have great things to shout Hosanna to the highest. Lord, some of us are just trying to find the strength to speak the words out of faith, without excitement, without joy. Hosanna in the highest. I trust that he who comes in the name of the Lord is blessed. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, infuse us with your joy today. Infuse us with your power today. That you are not far away. That you are with us. Lord, I pray particular coverage, Holy Spirit filled, angel ridden, a fortress of protection around a particular individual that needs to know your power and that needs your literal protection today. Lord, let it be so. Lord, let us just leave this place today with joy, passion, and perseverance, shouting to the world with our actions as we keep our lamps lit and as we are dressed for service, that they would hear us shouting, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and they're going to run our way to know why in the world we're living the way we live, and Lord, we can introduce them to you. In the name of Christ, all the people said, Amen. A couple of quick reminders. Next Friday at 7, 1 o'clock on Saturday here, and then 10:30 on Sunday morning, Easter Resurrection. Also, 7 a.m. sunrise, if you want to come to that. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, until then, Lord, let us keep our lamps burning, and let us be dressed and prepared to serve in a way that the world will recognize that you are the Savior, that you are the King, that you are ours and we are yours. In the name of Jesus, all the people said, amen. Man, y'all have a good week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.